Good afternoon, Sharks fans. And welcome to Joe Thornton, number 19, retirement day at SAP Center at San Jose. I'm Randy Hahn, and along with my broadcast colleague, Dan Rusinowski, we once again have the honor to serve as your hosts for today's special celebration. And we're thrilled. We are thrilled to have a sellout crowd here at SAP Center today for this truly historic occasion. We also know that thousands more are watching today live on our television broadcast partner, NBC Sports California, and also listening on the Sharks Audio Network. It doesn't seem like that long ago that we were gathered here to witness the first number retirement in Sharks franchise history. The number 12, which was raised here at SAP Center in February of 2023, of course, in recognition of fellow Sharks legend Patrick Marleau. But today, it's the number 19 that we celebrate, and the man that we honor is Joe Thornton. It couldn't be more fitting that the duo who created more memorable moments in Sharks franchise history than any other will be permanently reunited, forever line mates, on the most exclusive of Sharks teams.
Today, we will celebrate not only the on-ice accomplishments of the great Joe Thornton, but we will hear from some of the people closest to him, his family and his former teammates, who will share not just about Joe, the hockey player, but Joe, the friend, Joe, the teammate, Joe, the family man, and so much more. On the ice, we all know his statistics and accomplishments are simply staggering. 1,714 regular season games, sixth most in NHL history. 1,109 assists, seventh all-time, and one of only 14 NHL players to ever reach 1,000 assists. 1,539 points, that's 14th all-time, and of course, a very memorable season in 2005-06, the Hart and Art Ross trophies in that season. But it's not just in the NHL. He's a six-time NHL All-Star, but he's also an Olympic gold medalist. He's got two World Cup of Hockey gold medals, a World Junior Championship gold medal, all representing his country, Team Canada. And he's also at or near the top of every statistical category in Sharks franchise history. In fact, you can take this one stat, 804 assists in a Sharks uniform. That's more assists than everybody but one person has points in the history of this team. Let the record show that after Joe came to the Sharks early in 2005-06 until he departed in 2020, he posted the third most points of any NHL player in that span. He helped lead the Sharks to 12 Stanley Cup playoff appearances, a President's Trophy, four trips to the conference final, and of course, the 2016 Stanley Cup final. Most importantly, during his time with the San Jose Sharks, no NHL team won more games or collected more points in the standings, which is a run of excellence rarely seen in any professional sport. And as most of you know, today, November 23rd, has been designated as Joe Thornton Day right here in San Jose. But it's also being recognized in Joe's hometown of St. Thomas, Ontario. And that's great.
Off the ice, no matter how talented, rarely does an individual achieve great success without the support of a strong network of family, friends, and teammates. And many of those special individuals from Joe's journey are here with us today. Please join me now in welcoming them to the ice. First off, please welcome Joe's wife, Tabea, and their daughter, Isla, and son, River. Joe's parents, Wayne and Mary Thornton. Joe's brother, Alex Thornton. Representing Tabea's family, her brother, Rito Bensock. From the Sharks organization, President Jonathan Becker. General manager and Joe's former teammate, Mike Greer. Assistant general manager, Tom Holy. Sharks senior advisor, Tim Burke. And finally, Joe's head coach from his time playing in Davos, Switzerland, Arno Del Curto. And assistant general manager, Joe Will.
You know, the strong network of support and love that Joe received off the ice translated into one of the more prolific careers in NHL history on the ice. Over the course of 24 seasons, Joe not only endeared himself to millions of hockey fans, but to hundreds of teammates at every level of hockey. In San Jose, Joe Thornton, along with his many teammates in teal, helped change a non-traditional Northern California hockey town into a perennial Stanley Cup contender. Many of those teammates and fellow Sharks alumni are here with us today. So please welcome back to SAP Center, Mark Bell, Rob Blake, Ryan Boucher, Dan Boyle, Mike Brown, Jonathan Chichu, Rob Davison, Jason Demers, Andrew Desjardins, Nils Ekman, T.J. Gagliardi, Michael Haley, Scott Cannon, Danny Heatley, Kent Huskins, Jamie McGinn, Kyle McLaren, Evgeny Nabokov, Scott Nickel, Owen Nolan, Tom Peterson, Mike Ricci, Patrick Rissmiller, Craig Rive, John Scott, Alexei Semenov, Devin Setaguchi, James Shepard, Mark Smith, Alex Stalock, Scott Thornton, Rafi Torres, and Tommy Wingles. Well, now that we have met the family and reconnected with so many great former players and teammates, it's time for us to bring out the man who we are here to recognize and celebrate. Please join me in welcoming number 19, Joe Thornton.
Joe Thornton authored one of the most legendary careers in the history of the National Hockey League. Some of the achievements, statistics, and accomplishments that have already been recited earlier speak for themselves. But like most every player before him, Joe's journey began long before stepping onto an NHL rink. His humble beginnings in Southern Ontario, anchored by the support and love of a strong family and supportive community, helped set in motion the wheels that would eventually carry Joe Thornton towards hockey immortality.
St. Thomas, Ontario is located about 10 miles north of Lake Erie. We're approximately 2 hours from Detroit, 2 hours from Buffalo, and 2 hours to Toronto.
Most people from the town worked at one of the local factories or on the railroad.
Great place for kids. They went to a country school. They took a school bus to school right outside the door. They just had a good childhood, all three of them.
Joe, as a child, I guess he was perfect. All our kids were perfect, as Mom would say.
Joe was a perfect child. That's what you're supposed to say, right?
And we had perfect kids and never did anything wrong, but they probably did. But Joe had to compete against two older brothers. In our family, Mike was right. So I told Joe, I'm not a referee. You know, I'm not part of a hockey team.
Back when Joe was young and that, we had a very, very strong house league program, and that's where the boys got introduced to hockey.
Joe first went to Red Circle over in London, and then after he got a little bit older, he could go into St. Thomas minor hockey. He always enjoyed playing. He never complained about going to power skating or any extra ice time.
Joe started out as a defenseman, and the little boy at center broke his finger, so the coach asked him if he would try center. He loved it, loved it, loved it.
He would do anything for any of the other kids right from when they first met. And he always had a little knack when we needed something extra. He just did it.
Even in public school, Joe was practicing his autograph because, unbeknownst to me, he always thought he was going to play in the NHL, even as a minor public school little kid.
When Rick Smith, Joe's junior summer coach, phoned us one year and asked if Joe could come out for the summer team, and Wayne said, no, Joe's playing baseball. Eventually, he got on that summer team, and he fit right in.
You could see that he had skills and was a good player, so we were quite excited to have him early on. And Joe, quickly asserted himself as being one of the better players on our team.
The boys were a little bit older, some of them, and Joe thought, there's no way I can play with these kids, they're too good. But he fit right in there, and he just blossomed.
We had the Toronto Red Wings, who had won the Quebec Peewee Tournament the year before. They had some of the best players on the best team in Canada at that time. And during that tournament, Joe was obviously as good or better than any of the best players they had.
Even though Joe was a good hockey player, Joe never thought of himself as any better than the next kid beside him.
When he went number one, the town of St. Thomas exploded.
It was a big surprise to us when Joe was drafted number one. Even though Boston had said they were going to pick him number one, we still were very apprehensive. Surprised, yes, but ecstatic that Joe went number one.
When Joe got drafted and moved to Boston, it was very difficult.
We wanted Joe to be billeted out to a family also.
And Joe lived with an excellent family, Tommy and Nicole. It worked out good. Joe was great in Boston, the family was great, and we all supported him. Joe always makes time to come back here because it's home. He's totally relaxed when he comes here.
During the lockout in 2005, we bought a farm, and he comes back, he stays on his farm. It's a 100-acre farm, and he just loves being at the farm with his family and two kids.
He wants his kids to enjoy what he has in his childhood.
We've always, as a community, been extremely proud of Joe Thornton. He would come to City Hall and show off his latest awards. That was Joe Thornton, of finding ways that he can give back to and support the community. And it's something that, as a community, we'll never forget how humble he has been and supportive of St. Thomas and Elgin County.
That's where it all started, folks. And after a stellar two-year career in the Ontario Hockey League with the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, Joe was selected first overall by the Boston Bruins in the 1997 NHL entry draft, right ahead of future Sharks teammate Patrick Marleau. Despite suffering a broken wrist in his first NHL training camp, Joe Thornton quickly became one of the top players not only in the Bruins lineup, but in the entire National Hockey League. His productivity increased each season with Boston, culminating in 2002-2003, when he was one of just three players to eclipse 100 points, and he finished fourth in the Hart Trophy voting. Through the 2003-2004 season, Joe was a three-time NHL All-Star, and only one player had accumulated more points than Thornton did over the past three NHL seasons before that. But early in the 2005-06 season, a staggering trade would stun the entire NHL and forever change the fortunes of the San Jose Sharks and its fans.
The San Jose Sharks arguably have just made the biggest trade in their history. Joe Thornton from the Boston Bruins comes to the Sharks.
We were struggling. Boston was struggling. We've been looking to make a deal to shake things up. And then all of a sudden, Jumbo's name came up. And when you've got a guy of that type of player at that age, he was right in the prime of his career, there was no way we were going to let the deal slide by that we didn't do it.
The GM, the coach, everybody in San Jose made Joe feel really, really comfortable.
It seemed to be a breath of fresh air, like it was freedom.
I think because Joe felt so good, I think Joe played so well with San Jose that year and the following years.
We went out there that game in Buffalo, I remember, and Ron Wilson said, you know, hey, be ready to shoot. He's like, you're getting to play with one of the best passers in the league. He came in, I think he ripped one off the crossbar early on. You know, I was able to get open a couple times, got a couple goals, and we kind of just carried it over throughout the year, and we just had like an instant connection, chemistry type thing.
It just changes the dynamic in the locker room, off the ice and on the ice.
You could tell he was something special. It's rare to have that skill set, that talent, and the ability to connect with your teammates.
He holds on to the pucks. He creates a ton, and he just completely controls the shift when he's on the ice.
I just remember when I first got traded, just how welcoming he was. I was still learning, and I was still trying to find out who I was and as a player. And I've always said that Jumbo was probably the number one effect for me to really allow me to be me. He was the top dog, and he was having fun. So it enabled me to really grow into myself, really allowed me to take the next step in my career, I think.
Great players, and there's not many great players in this game, have one thing that they do. They make everybody around them better. And everybody that was on the ice that played that first year that he came in or for the rest of his career, he made them better.
It was my first training camp or my second training camp, but I was young. And I remember after a practice, a bunch of the guys were like, wow, did you see how he passes the puck? It just looks so easy and effortless for him.
When I scored the four goals, you know, I scored a bit between the legs and I celebrated because 7-2, but Jumbo, like, he supported me. I would do the same thing. He was like, don't listen to anybody, and, you know, and we all remember what he said. If I score four goals, you is something else from me, you know. So it was nice to hear him from him, you know, and because some people in the league, I thought it was a proper moment or something, and kind of put it on his back and not on mine.
I always said he's just a T-Rex, you know. He was so skilled and so dominant with the puck, but he could go through you too. He'd pass through you or he'd go through you with himself.
When it was time to play and it was time to be serious and time to win hockey games, he was so locked in and he pushed guys to get better. You know, he was hard on people at certain points, but I think with Joe, the reason he was like that was because he wanted what was best for each individual player and for the team.
Probably 80% of the guys who played with him always were better than they ever were. He was able to bring it the best out of them.
When I got to San Jose, the word around the league was the window, you know, was closed. You know, you could tell right away just the way he took care of himself, how he trained, how he prepared, that he wasn't even close to being done yet. And, you know, he went on to have a spectacular season for us that first year, led us to a Stanley Cup final.
The 1 year we get to finals, we've been on the same line, and it was just amazing to watch Jumbo just make a place, you know, like, there will be 3-4 sticks, and you know he could get through it. You know, it's under the sticks, over the 2 sticks, you know, he can make it. You have to just be ready. He just tell me, you know, be ready, have sticks on the ice, and I will get to you.
It takes very elite special players to be good for a decade. It takes even better players to be good for 2 decades, and that was Joe.
I just wish everybody got to play with a guy like him. There's just nobody else like him. There was nobody that had that infectious personality and was at the top of the game like he was.
With him being one of the best, I hate the word passers, you know, because he's a passer or playmaker. He is one of the best hockey players, period.
One of the greatest that plays. He's a Hall of Famer. A great example of somebody that truly loved the game and did everything he could to get the most out of his game. He just is a special, special man, and it was a privilege for all of us to get to watch most of his career in San Jose.
At this time, we would like to introduce a few special guests that Joe has chosen to help celebrate his legacy and amazing career. Ryan Clough was a teammate of Joe Thornton's for 8 seasons here in San Jose. As one of the most feared power forwards in the NHL during his career, the two players created a special bond through their fierce competitiveness and passion to win.
First year, as Joe arrived, I made the team out of camp and started the season with the Sharks. And when the team played, I think the second game when Joe played was in Toronto, I got called up for that game. Yeah, that was the first time I met him. I was sitting in the room. I was in the corner. At that time, I wasn't an established player, and I was nervous. You know, I just wanted to kind of keep my distance and, you know, kind of be seen, not heard at that stage. And he rushed right over, introduced himself. That was impressive. And right away, you got to see what kind of teammate he was, what kind of guy he was. We were basically in awe, especially as young guys. I mean, we would laugh about how good he is and how dominant he was and how we got him, like how we got him on our team right now. And it was consistent. You know, it was 2-3 points a night. It was every night. And just how he elevated, you know, not only the guys he played with, but the entire team. I've never seen anyone dominate personally like that myself. His personality and his passion for the game is infectious. He had high standards that he held himself to, and he had high standards for his teammates. You know, he didn't miss practices, he didn't miss games, and he expected you to practice every day and expected you to play every game. And to me, that's ultimate leadership. It automatically raised the standards to everyone. This is what we expect here, and this is what the culture is going to be, and that's how it was from day one with Joe. To me, it was inspiring to watch him play, because not only was he at times the most dominant player in the league, but he had that edge to him. And guys knew it. Guys knew it around the league that, you know, Joe had guys to fight his battles, but he would always take care of himself, and he took pride in that. He took pride in making sure that he was a guy that stood up for himself, but that's a part of the leadership that he always had. And, you know, that was a part of his toughness. What I remember is that in my formative years in the league, I was still trying to establish myself, and I wasn't an NHL regular. I got to play with Jumbo, and I got on a run that, you know, established myself as a player in the league and gave me confidence. That was kind of the boost I needed. Then I knew that I was a regular, and I knew that I was going to be able to play, you know, play in the league for a while. So, and I give Jumbo a ton of credit for that. He was really able to, you know, obviously his vision, his passing, had set me up, and I scored some goals. But just that boost I needed, I think it was early in the season, like in November. And that really catapulted me, and not only that season, but my career. I think the biggest thing that draws people to Jumbo is that he's authentic. You know, a lot of it is Jumbo-driven. Like, Jumbo reaches out, and he wants people around him. I mean, Jumbo cannot be alone. He can't be alone. He can't spend any time alone. If his wife leaves town, he's got to have someone come in. And that's Jumbo. But he's such a unique, authentic personality that, you know, I think people know he's real. Because we always say, you know, you can't really fool a hockey player. And everyone knows that Jomo's, you know, he ain't no phony. He's as real as they come. And that's why we love him. Towards the end of his career, he actually lived with me in Florida for 3 months, him and his whole family. So I got to see firsthand how passionate is he about his family. You know, dedicates a lot of time to his kids. To me, he's kind of taken the personality that he's had during his playing days around the guys, around the rink, and just translated to the home life. I think Joe's legacy is, and now getting to see it from a managerial standpoint, is that how hard it is to find guys like him, how hard it is to find players with that skill set. Every team's looking for it, and to have the privilege to, you know, have a guy like that in San Jose for so many years, you realize how lucky you are. Hey, Jumbo, it's Chloe. I just want to congratulate you on your retirement ceremony and say what a privilege it was to play with you over many years. I know we've had some heated battles over the years, but that was always the privilege of playing with such a, you know, unique teammate who had such high expectations and standards. But again, I want to congratulate you on your retirement ceremony and look forward to our friendship and our brotherhood continuing moving forward.
Now, also an assistant general manager with the Sharks, please welcome to the stage Ryan Clough.
Douglas Murray became a Shark the same night as Joe Thornton, December the 2nd, 2005, in Buffalo. Over the next 8 years, their relationship would grow to encompass something much more than simply being teammates.
Coming over to the U.S. junior year of high school and then ending up at Cornell University doing 4 years of college, I obviously watched a lot of NHL games. That was the dream. You saw the impact Jumbo Joe Thornton had. The day he got traded to the Sharks, thankful for my career, I actually ended up getting called up because of that trade. Everybody thinks that Joe changed the San Jose Sharks franchise, but it was actually me. He just controls the game from the first second, and everybody else follows. What he did that day, just felt the energy of the room and everybody that worked around the Sharks organization that something was about to change. Everybody on the NHL level is going to make a great play at some point. I think I had at least one in my career. Joe did them all the time. One play that comes to mind was a play Joe did to Marlowe in Dallas. It's even more impressive if you watch it in slow-mo, because you can see he looks 2 seconds before the play actually happens. He sees Patty, and then he skates towards the puck, and he throws a no-look backhand pass right on the tape to Marlowe for a tap-in goal. Talking about Joe, you got to talk about Tabea too, his wife. She has had an unbelievable impact on him and has kept this superstardom at an unbelievable equilibrium between being great people and also superstars. I got a phone call, I don't know, 3 years into my career. I was asked to come and help move a family. I drive to the address, and there we're moving into a two-bedroom apartment in San Jose. And I'm like, who's living here? So we get traded for a player or something? Like, no, it's a mom with two kids, and she was homeless, and she needed a place to stay. But you can't tell anybody about this. So now it's been such a long time ago, so now I'm going to break the trust and tell everybody about this, but there it was, moving into homeless mom, two kids. Nobody ever knew. That's who they are.
think one of the greatest things about Joe, as he got older, he never stopped being curious of learning and getting better. I actually loved seeing how he got perceived more towards the end of his career, what he brought to the game of hockey, more than when he was maybe in his highest prime. He really treated the game that it was a blessing to play, just like his first season to his last. I take huge honor and great pleasure in calling Joe Thornton my teammate, but more importantly, my friend. Jumbo, my friend, huge congratulations. What an honor. Even though it's freaking obvious that this should happen, huge congratulations to you, to Bea, the entire Thornton family. It's a huge honor for me to be part of this. And love you guys. Enjoy the night.
Here he is, the man affectionately known to all as Crankshaft, Douglas Murray.
By the time he got to San Jose, Jumbo was already well known around the NHL. But in 2006, Little Joe arrived. And the two forwards spent the next 13 seasons helping the Sharks to their most successful era.
When I first got to San Jose, first training camp, he invited me over for dinner. And then I remember sitting out just on the patio out by the pool and him talking about some things that his old coaches gave him. And one of them would be, you know, on a night where it's going good, you know, where you might score a point or two, you got to really dial in on those nights and keep going and playing. And then just, you know, on the flip side, if it's not going good, you got to find a way to produce. But I remember sitting out there, California sun, you know, beating out there. Jumbo had his shirt off. It was a moment like that really sticks with me. When I think of Jumbo, he was always a booming voice in the locker room. He always expected a lot from his teammates. For me, it was an elite competitor. You know, we might be down in game 4-1, going into the third, 5-1, game feels out of reach. But we were going to get something out of this night. We weren't just going to pack it in and go home. And he knew about his playmaking, about his toughness, everything. But to compete, you know, whether it was a game, whether it was in practice, he loved being out there, loved putting the work in. There was a learning curve for me. You start shooting a few pucks and kind of wasting shots here and there, and he let me know really early. It was like, hey, we're not going to do that again. We got the puck. We're going to keep it. Give me the puck and get open. And then you get him that first puck, and that puck arrives right on time on your stick in your score, and it's pretty special. Fast forward a year or two, I get named the captaincy there. There's a special moment in my career where I step into an elevator right after that day, and Jumbo walks in. And as good of a friend he is, you don't know how it's going to go. I think there's a little uncertainty. And he looks at me and he's like, I got all the belief in the world in you. And let's go do this together. And San Jose is his city, and the Sharks are his team. And he was going to be a part of that as much as he could. And it was something you never wanted to let him down. I remember the first game in the locker room, you know, Jumbo's leading us out. Nothing changed. It made it easy on me to go out and not change who I had to be or anything like that. It was, how are we going to do this together? And he led the way. So that's something I'll never forget. It really made our next 4 years together just so special. I think for me, if you're like, hey, where's the last time if you close your eyes, how do you see Jumbo? It was game 7 against Vegas. To get knocked out. Really, the first time coming out of it was right as I'm stepping off the ice by the bench, and I just see Jumbo's face right in front of me, the big beard, and he's just saying, "We got you, Pav, we got you, don't worry about it, like, you're gonna be all right." As I'm getting staples in my head, the horn goes, and I ask Ray, I'm like, "What was that?" And he's like, "The boys scored." And the horn's going off again. I'm like, "What is that?" He's like, "The boys scored again." We score another one, and, you know, I start tearing up. I'm just so proud of the boys. How Jumbo ties all this in together is he was on the bench, and I think those guys came off, you know, after scoring three or whatever it was, and he looks up at Pete and he says, "Put those guys right back on." He understood the situation. They went out and got the job done, and to have that kind of awareness of what's going on and being such a big part of that game was special. But just always seeing his face, being right there, we got you, you know, something I'll never leave. Jumbo, congrats on this special night. So, looking back 13 years ago, I learned so many lessons from you playing together, you know, all the special memories. Thank you for always the respect you showed me, the passion you showed for the game, everything I was able to learn from you and always having my back. So, nothing but love for you and the family. And such a great night. Congrats, and let's have some fun.
We have all missed him here in San Jose. Let's welcome back Joe Pavelski.
Finally, perhaps no player is as synonymous with the San Jose Sharks than Patrick Marleau. He played in more games than any player in NHL history and spent 1,081 of those games as a teammate of Joe Thornton. But the two superstars' enduring relationship began long before either player had ever set foot in San Jose.
I met Jumbo, I think, for the first time at a Team Canada event. I think we were both U16 or something like that. Right from the start, he's a guy that people are attracted to. He made hockey so much fun at an early young age. It was just great being around him. When we got Jumbo, I was ecstatic. To have somebody like him, his caliber, come to our team, and, you know, we knew we were going to be, you know, good right from the start when he got here. And, you know, he came in and he just gave us a whole new dynamic to our team. I know, especially when I was on Jumbo's line, like, I had the biggest smile coming to the rink every night because I knew I was going to get, you know, two or three grade A scoring chances by just being in the right spot, because you knew Jumbo was going to put it on your tape and find you. He'd be in a position to shoot, and everybody knew he wasn't going to shoot sometimes. And they'd take the pass away, but he'd still find a way to get the pass across. You know, fans would be like, "Shoot," yelling, "Shoot, shoot, shoot," and then it'd be a backdoor tap in, no problems. Playing in Vancouver 2010 at the Olympics with Jumbo, Heater, and Danny Boyle, and being able to be on the same line, I mean, that was so big for us, but for me and the Sharks, we were doing pretty good, and we had basically pretty much our whole power play unit there, so it was funny. Babs kind of said to us, "You guys just do what you do." He threw us out there, and that was huge for myself, being able to just feel comfortable being on a line, you know, with Jumbo and with Heater, and to be able to share that experience and win gold with you know, your teammates is one of my fondest memories of playing hockey.
One of the most memorable moments I have with Jumbo would be the overtime goal I scored against Detroit. We'd always had tough battles against Detroit, and, you know, to finally go up 3-0 was huge, and just the two-on-one with Jumbo, you know, using me as a backboard to get the puck in the net, basically. And to have him jump into my arms behind the net and then have everybody come in OT winner like that was a moment that's etched in my brain forever. When Joel became a family man, it was so great to see, because you knew he was going to bring all that enthusiasm, excitement he brings to hockey and to life to his kids and his family. He's a leader, so you know he's going to be able to do those things with his family. And, you know, he turns into an Uber driver like all of us do. But no, he's a great family man, and it's been great to see that part of his life as well. To see Jumbo's banner next to mine up there, it just makes me happy. I mean, right from an early age, when we were like 16, our paths crossed, and they've been woven together over the years for all of our careers, so it just seems right. What you've done since you've gotten here on day one has only inspired and lifted up the Bay Area. Not to mention numerous kids that grow up and want to be just like Jumbo. Thank you for helping me in my career. Thank you for making hockey fun, even in some of the hardest moments. Most of all, Jumbo, I want to thank you for your friendship and being a brother over the course of my career. And I'm looking forward to making a lot more memories with you and your family going forward. And I'm very thankful and honored that your banner is going to be up next to mine forever.
Later today, his number 12 will welcome Joe's number 19 high above SAP Center. But for now, please welcome him to the stage, Patrick Marleau.
What an amazing testament to Joe's life and his career to have so many people here to share in the celebration today. There are no more chairs up here. And now that we've had the opportunity to hear some fantastic tributes from others about Joe, the person, the hockey player, it's time to hear from the man himself. It is my honor and privilege to present number 19 to you, Joe Thornton.
Give me that love! Yes! I want to feel it! Oh! Oh! Woo! Oh! Wow. Feels so good to be back. Oh, yeah. I can feel you.
Oh. Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you, thank you. When I was traded here in 2005, I knew I loved the Sharks logo, but wasn't quite sure how the color teal would look on me. As soon as I put on that sweater, took to the ice with the boys, and rang one off the post in my very first shift. Damn! I knew teal looked good on me, and I was sold for life. The first game was a 5-0 win against the Buffalo Sabres. And here we are again tonight with the Sabres in the building. As a kid, I used to go to Buffalo and watch games at the old auditorium. And my favorite player growing up was Pat LaFontaine. So it's a huge honor for me sharing these moments with the Sabres in the house. The pride I take in being a Shark is something I truly can't explain. Stepping on the ice, I found instant chemistry with Cheech. Yes, Cheech, yes, you. I always loved the dish, as you guys all know. And over the years, I heard you all yelling, "Shoot!" when I had the puck, but that was never my game. I was a passer, and Cheech was a scorer, and it was magical. Just magical, Cheech. Five hat tricks on the way to 56 goals that season. I've never seen anything like it. Incredible. Thank you, Jonathan, for making the transition so easy and fun for me. Our line started with my cousin Scott Thornton. Like, I mean, who gets to play with their cousin in the show? Unreal. And it ended up with Niels Ekman. And simply put, it just all worked. Yeah, it did. And then you, the great Sharks fans. Yes. From day one, when I skated through the Shark Head, I truly felt all your energy, passion, and support. It was my mission to return all that love every time I stepped on the ice. And huh, maybe that's why I never wore a shirt during my interviews. Yeah, I got the body. I want to thank my good friend and owner of the Sharks, Hasso Plattner, who is here tonight. Yep. Yep. Hasso, let me speak for every player, staff member, and fan of the Sharks. Thank you for everything you've given us. You never want any credit, but you're always there to provide all of us with everything we need to become better. Yep. Thank you. Thank you to Team President Jonathan Becker as well. Thanks for the special day, guys. I love being at the rink, mainly because of all the people. When Doug Wilson brought me here, I didn't know too many people in the organization. But that quickly changed as I got to know people like Greg Jamieson, Wayne Thomas, Tim Burke, and Joe Will. The ownership group was a larger group at the time, and I want to thank the likes of Kevin and Gayla Compton, who I still receive a happy birthday text every year. Bevan Rudley Statter, and of course, the late George Gunn, amongst others. You all made this a very special place for me and my family, so thank you. Speaking of George Gunn, there are a number of other great people who aren't with us anymore, and I think about them every day. Oh. I want to acknowledge my Grandma Pell and my Grandpa Thornton. Who enjoyed watching me play until the day they died. Gord Downie, the most beloved Canadian in history, who never thought teal looked good on me, is because he was a hardcore Bruins fan. My father-in-law, Eugene, thank you for giving me your blessing to marry your daughter. We love the signs from you. Keep them coming. Steve Barber, oh boy, did we have a lot of fun together. I know you'd be here tonight, probably more for the party than to actually see the number 19 going to the rafters. I miss you, Stewie. Oh, Mushy, Brian Marchment. Yep. I miss seeing you at the rink, buds. And boy, do I ever love your son, Mason. It was an honor playing with him in Florida. We all miss you. Nicole Hines, you were the most elegant woman I have ever known. But somehow you loved watching the Jerry Springer show with me, and I wasn't the one turning it on. You and Tommy took me in as a teenager, and it's in your honor that me and my family are billeting Macklin. And Mac, thanks for helping out with grade 6 math. It's not one of my strong suits. You know it. You know it. I want to thank all my coaches I've had over the years, but I have to mention two guys I played for here in San Jose. Ron Wilson and Peter DeBoer. Yeah, two of the best. Ronnie, I know you can't be here tonight, but I love you. And Pete, simply put, you're the man. You're just the man. Hey, just the man. And I have to give a little special shout out to my hockey club DeVos team in Switzerland and the coach I had there, Arno DiCurto, who is here today. Yeah. I could listen to him talk about hockey all day. Just a beauty. We had the best equipment and medical staffs here in San Jose. Mikey Aldrich, Big Ricky, Vinny, Johnny Peters, Roy Sneasby. Thanks for all the laugh, boys, for keeping my equipment tight and for always having a dry jersey for me during intermission. Ray Tufts, Wes Howard, Mike Potenza, Newfie, Kevin Neild, Steve-O, Toby Hansen, Dr. Ting, my guy, and all of the other doctors. You guys kept me not only playing, but looked after my health every single day. I appreciate you all so much as you made my life easy and I was able just to focus in on hockey, so thank you.
Nice job!
Yeah. Yeah. Dan Ruzanowski, Randy Hahn, and Drew Remenda. I'm sure the fans would agree, we are lucky to have you as the voices of our team. Yeah. So many huge moments of my life, you are the soundtrack, and I love that, so thank you. Speaking of great people, I want to send a big thank you to Scotty Emmerich, Rosemary Tibaldi, Ryan Sten, and Tom Holley. All of you have been here since my first day with the Sharks, and I know how much you guys work and never get enough credit, so thank you. And Tom, teal is definitely a great color for you as well. Okay. And then there's my teammates. So many of you showed up for me today, and I can't thank you enough. You know I love you guys. And your best thing that hockey ever gave me, friends for life. Yeah. I can go on and on about guys like Rob Blake, just classy, eh, Blakey? Just class. Logan Couture, our current captain. What a gamer! Hey, Coochie! Gamer! Hoping we'll see you on the ice soon, Cooch. Pickles? Pickles? Still wearing the same suit from 2006? Soon it might be back in style. Barclay Goodrow. Goody. Yeah, I see ya. I see ya. Game 7 versus Vegas. Electric! Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Take that in. Yeah. And to all the current players and staff sitting with you over there, thanks for letting me be around the rink in the gym with you guys. You know I'm rooting for the boys, eh? You guys know that. Thomas Hurdle. Yes, and I would still do that if I score 4 goals in a game. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Brent Burns. The only guy I would ever pose naked with. I'd never play with a wild animal before, but that's as close as I'll ever get. Burnsy, the animal noise you'd make to tell me you were open, they weren't necessary. Because I saw you. But that's just who you are, a wild animal, and I love you for it. Oh. Now everyone knows I love a good nickname. Yours were simple, like Nemo or like Nabby. Nabby. Yeah. Well, today I thought I'd share some of my favorites with the fans. Yeah, sorry, fellas. So let's start with the bigs. Alexei Semenov, the big dirty. Scott Hannon, the big grease. And John Scott, for obvious reasons, just big. Then we had Devin Setoguchi. His nickname was Techno. Kyle McLaren, Crane. Al Stadlock, Rodney or A-Rod. James Shepard, Le Bone. Jason Demers had one, Ocho, but then he made up his own and now just goes by Daddy. Joe Pavelski, he had a lot of good nicknames. Yeah, yes he did. Right now it's Pokey. But the first nickname I ever gave him, and not too many people know, maybe not even him, was King. And that's what he's still saved under in my phone. Yeah. And then we had Mike Brown. His nickname was Arm. Brent Burns, I like to refer to him as the Sideshow. Scott Gomez, G-Love. Ken Huskins, Vernaldo. Mark Smith, Smit Dog. Patrick Miller, Street Dog. Douglas Murray, he had a lot of nicknames too. But he's mostly known as Crankshaft, Ginty, or Cranky. Rafi Torres, Tico. Mirko Mueller, the beautiful. Thomas Grice, Mufafa. Cooch likes that one. And your GM, Mike Greer, Silky. Oh, I could go on and on. Now for the guys up on stage with me. This might be tough. Huh. Yeah. I got it. Chloe, you were the ultimate protector and challenger. You were there for every teammate no matter what. Whether it was a big goal, hit, fight, or hell, breaking up an odd man rush from the bench in LA. You were always there for all of us. You also weren't afraid to stand up and challenge us, and I always appreciated that. You and your wife, Jen, welcomed my whole family into your home when I played for the Panthers in Florida, and our kids are buddies. I loved you as a teammate. But love you more as a friend. Cranky, you brought so much life, energy, and loyalty to our group. We both played our first game in a Sharks uniform. Your presence in the room was even bigger than one of your reverse hits. And you'll always be family to me. Yeah, old Crank. Thank you for all the unforgettable memories we created together, and you're an absolute legend. I can't wait to see those dance floors on the... on the floor tonight. Oh, Pav. Oh, Pav. Oh, Pav. You were the example. You made everyone around you better, including me. By striving to make yourself better every day, you showed up with the right attitude, you brought the best out of your teammates. Such a smart player, one of the best tippers I've ever played with. That is because you never took a shortcut and you worked at your craft every day. You took my advice of no days off until you're 30, bud. Hey, it's good for you young guys to know that too. Thank you for being such a good friend, and I love you. Patty, Mr. Shark, we went through the draft process together when we were 17. Never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd become teammates. But you welcomed me with open arms to your team. You were gracious enough to share that responsibility with me, and I'm so grateful for you for that. It was truly an honor to be your teammate, friend, and roommate. I'm absolutely humbled to have my number up there next to yours. Before I go to my family, I have to give a little shout out to my golf boys out at Corval. Some are here tonight. All my buddies from St. Thomas, my friends in Switzerland, and my teammates that I play with in Boston, and my boys in Toronto and Florida. Thank you, boys. Oh. And now to my family, my two brothers, Alex and John. Thanks for all the love and support over the years. I hope you and your families are proud to see our last name up in the rafters. You guys mean so much to me. My parents, Wayne and Mary. They've actually seen me play in every NHL arena except for Winnipeg. Whenever they were here in San Jose, which was all the time, they'd always drive to the rink with me before games. And fans, you guys should know that my dad was right there with you. The last thing he always said to me before I walked into the arena. Yep, was shoot the puck, Joe. But then my mom would be quick to add, I love you, Joe. Needless to say, I listened more to my mom than I did my dad. To be able to share this night tonight with you guys is so special, and I hope I made you proud. I love you. Oh. to Island River. You guys are the most special gift I could ever ask for. You make me proud every day, and I'll always be there for you guys. I can't even remember what life was before you guys came in our lives. You two give me more than the game of hockey ever could. When you come to this arena and see the banner with our name on it, you guys know that you're a big part of it. I love you. And lastly, to my wife, Tabea, my baby doll. You always tell it like it is. You always have every detail ironed out. You are my rock. I ended up playing a long time, and that would have been impossible without you. I don't have enough words to tell you how much you mean to me. You are the centerpiece of our house, and I'm so grateful I found my way into your life. I love you. Oh. So thank you, Sharks fans. And like I said, when I'm retired, I'll see you at the rink. Peace and love. Go Sharks.
What an event. We've had so many fantastic stories today about a terrific hockey career, but more importantly, a wonderful human being who's done so much for our franchise here in San Jose and for our community here. As we prepare for the moment we've all been waiting for, I'd like to invite Joe Thornton to join his family down on the ice. Now, before we reach the culmination of our ceremony, let's take a couple of minutes to watch, remember, and enjoy the unparalleled legacy and greatness of Joe Thornton.
Are you kidding me with that pass?
Ring
brings it back out. Far side, Thornton, they score! Joe Thornton and the Sharks win the series in overtime!
Time running down, he scored! He scored! He scored!
The tenth score, Joe Thornton, there's number 1,000. He'll give it to Vlasic. Up ice to Pavelski.
This time, we ask Joe, Tabea, Isla, and River to place your hands on the button in front of you, and all of us, on the count of three, let's count it down. Three, two, one, hit it! What a remarkable day to celebrate a remarkable career. And today, an era of Sharks hockey has come full circle with number 19 joined alongside number 12 forever. We'd like to congratulate Joe, his family, and friends, and thank all of the Sharks alumni who have joined us here today. We will never forget how Joe changed this franchise and the many years of on-ice success that followed. Thank you all.